Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here this morning. Don't forget, if you are joining us on Facebook, make sure that you comment. Let us know that you are worshiping with us, and we appreciate it. No choir practice tonight, so choir members, you get a pass, and Marcy will have you back in action next week. And then the church board meeting, I think most of the board members know, but that has been moved. It is not going to be tomorrow night. It is going to be Tuesday night, 6:30, you know, same normal time, normal place, but just moved from tomorrow night to Tuesday night. So Wayne has a couple packets. I think most people have picked theirs up, it looked like. But board members, don't forget to pick up your packets from Wayne. So tonight, normal schedule. You know, you all got a reprieve last week, but normal schedule on the small groups tonight. Same for Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Wednesday evening, adults, youth, and children. So we're back on track this week to kick off the new year. Men's breakfast is next Saturday at 9 in the Family Life Center. I think Wayne sent out an email, but any of you guys have not let him know one way or another whether you are going to be able to be there, please do so he can know what to plan for as far as food. And then we are going to be having Surviving the Loss of a Spouse that is going to be on Friday, January 20th at 10 a.m. over in the Good News classroom. So if you have any questions, please see Jane Montgomery, and she will be glad to address any of your questions about that. Our ladies' ministry, LIFT, will be meeting on Saturday, January 21st at 9 a.m. in the Family Life Center. So all ladies, you are invited to attend. This is the kickoff for ladies' ministry for the year. So please don't forget about that. And ladies, please invite and have friends come with you. All right, many other announcements go out in the newsletter on Friday, so don't forget to read that. Make sure that you are seeing that. Make sure it's not hitting your spam folder. I know we've had some problems with that. And then Jeremy and Treva Keeler wanted to thank the church for their gifts at Christmas, and we are glad to have the Keelers here with us this morning. So glad they are with us, and we appreciate that thank you note. All right. I think that is all I have. Susie, do you have an announcement? Or do you want me to make? Okay.
This is probably the first church where we have had so many great grandparents in the congregation. That, to me, that's just amazing. And it's just speaks to family within a church. And we have a new addition to the church. You may not have seen him yet. He's not here this morning, is he? Okay. Madison has a new baby boy, Keelan Gray. Is that how you say it? Keelan Gray. He was born December the 1st. And so we want to welcome this new little baby boy into our church family. His grandma and grandpa, and see, I can't get used to calling y'all grandma and grandpa, Nicole and David, and Brenda, great-grandma. You're old, girl. That makes me feel old, too. Yeah.
It was nice being their pastor.
She'll do my hair next time and take it out on that, I'm sure. But anyway, this is such a neat thing for a church to experience, is growth through family. And I know we say that's one way to grow the church. Yes, it is one way to grow the church. But think about the impact that has generation after generation after generation within a church. What a responsibility and an obligation and opportunity we have as a church family to bless them. So for the next three Sundays, we're going to have a big box out in the foyer, and we're going to do diapers and wipes, okay? So we want you to go pick up a package of diapers, pick up a package of wipes, just to bless Madison and this new little baby. I mean, because we know they go through diapers and wipes, okay? So just pick up a box or a package of them and bring them and put them in the box out there. And it will be a good blessing and a great blessing to her, I know. And then we get to do it again next month, too, because we have another little one on the way. Garrett and Jessica's little one will be here by the end of the month. And so we're gonna bless them, too. So just this week, pick up a package of diapers, wipes, any other little things you want to throw in there. I'm sure that'll all be appreciated. But we just want to bless her for this second little baby, for Keelan Gray. So keep that in mind, and we'll have the box out there for you next Sunday.
Amen. Well, I'm glad we got a bunch of great grandparents in our congregation. That would lead me to believe that there may be some not so great grandparents here too, but that's okay. Anyway, let's stand together as we're able, and we're going to pray, and then we'll sing together. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time to gather in your house and worship you. God, this morning, I thank you so much for this new year that we find ourselves in. Thank you for the way that you're leading and guiding and working already in the lives of your people, even in these last few days. God, I pray that you would continue to move, that you would continue to work, and that we would continue to give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it. God, we thank you so much for everything you do. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee, swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, filled with messages.
Every Sunday, just before I get up to come on the platform, I usually kind of share these words under my breath. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. That's not a brag on me. That's just saying I want to make sure that it's God shining through me. The least I could do is give myself to him. If that's what he's done for us, we can certainly return the favor, right?
Cannot compare to the glory of your love.
Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live now as children of that same light."
For the blood. into glorious light. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
We give You glory, honor, and praise this morning, Lord, for Your goodness and Your mercy that You've given unto us. You amaze us, Lord, at the things that You do and the ways that You work in our life. We're so thankful, Father, for the fact that You were willing to come and to die to take our place. Lord, You didn't deserve to have to die. We did because of our sin. But You gave us Your love even while we were still sinners, and You died for us. And this morning we give You glory, honor, and praise for that fact. And we're so thankful that we can come together this morning and worship You. Thank You, Lord, that You have given us all. And Lord, I pray that You would help us in turn to give You our all in order that we might live for You, in order that we might serve You, in order that a world that is lost and dying around us might see that there is someone who can change and transform their lives. They don't have to continue to be like they were. They can be changed. And that's all because of the blood of Jesus. And we thank You and we give You glory for that this morning. Lord, there are those of our congregation who need Your touch. We pray, Father, for those who have physical issues, may You touch and help and heal. Lord, there are those who have gone through sorrow. May You be the comforter to them that this morning that they need. Lord, for others who are facing financial difficulties or they're facing other kinds of difficulties, we thank You, Lord, that You are the great provider. And God, You are able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to Your power that's at work within us. And so, Lord, we entrust these. All of these needs, all of these burdens, we entrust them to You, knowing, Lord, that You're going to do what is best and that You're going to work in people's hearts and lives. And so we give You honor and praise for that. Lord, we pray for this time that we have together. We've already been praying about it, Lord. We pray for this time in which we're going to begin to look into Your Word together this Sunday morning. And I pray, Father, that You, through the power of Your Spirit, would give power as only You can. And Father, as Pastor Tyler said just a moment ago, may the message that comes forth this morning from my lips, may it be pleasing to You. But Father, may it also be what we need to hear. And then Lord, help us and give us responsive, receptive hearts that we would receive what You have to say to us. But then Lord, go out and do something about what You have to say to us. I pray for the congregation this morning as they give. I thank You, Lord, for their faithfulness. May You bless and use their giving today. And for the things that You accomplish through it, we give You praise, honor, and glory. May You touch hearts and lives. May You save people. May You sanctify believers. And Lord, we give You praise and honor for what You're going to do in this service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Are you thankful that God has brought you through another year of life?
Amen.
I'm glad. I'm thankful. If nobody else is. I look back over 2022, and I can see the times where God moved. I can see the times where God provided. I can see some times when I was maybe a little bit in the dark in the situation and didn't quite see what God was doing. But I'm thankful that even after going through the year of 2022 and coming into the year of 2023, regardless of what it may hold, I'm still thankful that regardless of where I find myself in the year to come, I can still say that God has been good.
Amen. Thank
and if He never gives me anything else in this world, then He's still given me more than I ever deserve.
Amen.
So just listen to the words of this song as I sing it to you. Back along life's winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies God has shown. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Had my share of hard times, wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced life's greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, I've known more joy than hurt, as His grace flowed down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, my Savior and my friend. His love was my beginning, His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way that I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good.
Amen. Wow. God has been good, hasn't He? Pastor Tyler and I, along with about five other people from our district, went this week to Eastern Kentucky. While our kids were in camp at Kentucky Mountain Bible College back during the summer, there was a 12-inch rain that came, and if you've ever been to that part of Kentucky, and I never had until August, the water has nowhere to go but down. And 12 inches of rain in 24 hours can do devastating things. You generously gave, and we took a bunch of stuff back in August, and we were only there for a couple of hours and basically unloaded everything and headed back. Pastor Tyler and a group went back up there and cleaned up some places for the people. we could go every week from now until and still not touch what needs to be done. This week we worked in two different places. One was a house. It was a two-story house. The water got up to the top sash, the middle of the top sash on the second floor window. As we were riding out to both of the locations that we went to, you passed on the creek bank a house that was sitting sideways, kind of, and up the road a half a mile was the foundation of that house. It had been washed a half a mile down the road. I've got pictures if you want to see. Be glad to show you. When we pastored in Baton Rouge in 2016 during the flood there, the water rose and stayed. This, the water rose and rushed. We worked on a second house of a young man. The house is 12 feet by 16 feet by 12 feet tall. And he lost everything, just like the people in the other house lost everything. We got there and went in, and I began to wonder, how did this young man survive 2 weeks ago when it was negative 3 or 4 here? There are a lot to be done. And that will not be our last trip to go up and do our best to help out. There'll be some projects that many of us can go and do. We'll try to do something. We'll leave on Sunday and come back on Wednesday morning. How about that? That way we'll try to do it when it's a little warmer. But pray for the people of Eastern Kentucky. I watched Pastor Jack Wednesday night, and as I sat there in that, laid there on my bed and watched him, I thought, this congregation is blessed to have two men on staff that can preach like this one and that one can. Don't know about this one. But I listened to Jack and Tyler last Sunday morning, and then Jack Wednesday night. And then I could tell something was up because there was some discussion going on that I could not hear. And that always makes a pastor nervous. And all over this platform, if you see yellow things floating down, it's Post-it notes. Two of them have already gone down this morning. But thank you for the words of encouragement. And I'm just leaving them here, at least for right now. And so if something floats down during the message, we're just going to let it float. How about that? I want to speak to you this morning from Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 1. And then what I want you to do is take your finger and go over and find Hebrews chapter 13 and stick a finger in there, because we're going to read these together here in just a moment. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and then Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 16. There was a very successful man who was approached by a fundraiser for a very important cause, and he was asked to make a donation of $50,000. The man looked at the guy who was requesting the donation and said, I may look as though I'm very affluent and could easily afford $50,000, but you don't understand my circumstances. You don't know that my mother is very ill and is a very expensive care facility. And you don't know that my brother died without any life insurance and left a family of 5 with very little provisions. You don't know that my son has given his life to social work and that his income is less than the national poverty level. You don't know that my church is in a major building and remodeling program and they need funds. And the guy said, no, I'm sorry, I didn't know all of that. I was unaware of all that. To which the man said, well, if I didn't give a dime to any of those causes, what makes you think I'm going to give you anything? Set you up for that one, didn't I? Last Sunday morning, we began a series of messages. Pastor Tyler began a series of messages on the core values of our local church. The Church of the Nazarene as a denomination has as its core values 3 different things. We are Christian, we are holiness, and we are missional. And Pastor Tyler last Sunday morning spoke about the core value of our local church, the core value of service. And this morning I want us to look at another one of those core values, and that core value is the core value of sacrifice. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Then you go over to Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 15, and the Hebrew writer says there, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. God is pleased. I looked up the word sacrifice, and the word sacrifice is the act of offering God something that is precious. If you read what Paul said, if you read what the Hebrew writer said here, you find out that this term sacrifice is really closely tied to worship. Worship involves a whole lot of things. But let me tell you something. Worship ultimately involves sacrifice. It involves our sacrifice. In the Old Testament, God's people were required to bring some type of sacrifice when they worshiped him. In the book of Leviticus, you find that there were different kinds of sacrifices. There were the burnt offerings where worshipers voluntarily brought bulls or sheep or goats, and those things were offered to God. And poorer people brought turtle doves or pigeons. Can you imagine having an old goat in service every Sunday morning? Strike that. Don't ever use that again. But in Leviticus, you find that there were those kinds of sacrifices. You find that there were grain offerings. The people brought their harvest and fine flour, and they would bring it mixed with oil and frankincense. There were peace offerings, and those were often associated with celebrations. They again had to bring an unblemished animal so that it could be sacrificed to the Lord. And then there were sin offerings and guilt offerings. Those were animal sacrifices that were brought to atone for both unintentional and intentional sins. That's how the Bible says it. The sins of omission and the sins of commission. There were all kinds of other sacrifices in the Old Testament, but the point of all of it was that it was inconceivable, at least to the people of Israel. It was inconceivable to go to worship God without bringing some sort of something as a precious gift to offer a sacrifice. What has changed in our culture is many people have this idea that they can come into service and they can worship God without bringing something precious to God. They come to church and they sing and they pray and they hear Bible teaching. They go through all of these things and they offer God little of any, if anything. In biblical terms, please understand, in biblical terms, it is impossible to worship God with an empty hand. It is impossible to worship God without making some sort of sacrifice. Now, Jesus is the ultimate and complete sacrifice for our sins. All of these Old Testament sacrifices that I've just talked about, all of those were pointing to him. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, he is called the Lamb that was slain. He was the Lamb that was sacrificed from the creation of the world. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, Peter says there that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a Lamb without blemish or defect. What is he talking about? He's talking about that Jesus was our sacrifice. We no longer offer animal sacrifices because the ultimate sacrifice has already been made for us. However, when you begin to think about that, the Apostle Paul and then the writer of the Hebrews basically show us that there are at least three sacrifices that you and I still need to make. At least three sacrifices that you and I still need to make. And I want us to look at those this morning. The first thing that I want you to see is the Apostle Paul talks about the sacrifice of our person. He says there in verse 1, chapter 12, book of Romans, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as what? Living sacrifices. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Then he adds this, this is your spiritual act of worship. God desires living sacrifices. And when he says here, I urge you therefore, brothers, he's talking to the Christians. He's talking to the brothers and sisters in the Lord. And the word urge means that we come along beside and help. It's like how distance runners feed off each other's determination. I've been to several Ironman competitions and I've watched these guys as they would run. And one guy would focus on the runner in front of him and he would do his best to keep up with him, maybe do his best to pass them. But something about seeing someone else in front, someone else doing what needs to be done, was an urging to him to continue. It's as though the Apostle Paul, when he's writing that, is coming alongside of us and is urging us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God. He speaks here of the mercies and the blessings of God. Please understand, no matter where we are in life or what we possess or what condition our health is, all of us, as Pastor Tyler said just a few moments ago, all of us, if God did nothing else for us, have been blessed beyond our wildest dreams. I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, that's one of the major components of worship is thanking God for his goodness to us. We just went through Thanksgiving season. Psalm 100 verse 4. Enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And enter his courts with what? Praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. You see, because as believers, we are the children of God. And because we have received such an overflow of blessing, we need to offer ourselves, our person, to God. The whole idea here of offering is a term that really points back to the Old Testament. Of the Old Testament priest taking that lamb or taking that bull or taking that goat or taking that turtle dove or taking that pigeon, whatever was being given, and sacrificing that animal to God. It was a yielding up, a giving up of that animal to God. We don't do that anymore. So what do? The Apostle Paul tells us, we give God ourselves. We give God ourselves. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Listen to what he says. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And then he adds this, therefore, because you are not your own, because you have been bought at a price, therefore, honor God with your body. We're to give our bodies as living sacrifices. In the Old Testament, the priests slew the animal when it was there. We don't practice that. We practice giving God a living sacrifice that continually offers up thanksgiving and continually offers up praise to him because of all the things that he has done. But let me say this. I'm smiling. Let me say this. Sacrifice is not easy. Sacrifice is not easy. Every time I think of this word sacrifice, my mind immediately goes back to Abraham and Isaac. I cannot think of sacrifice without thinking of that. I mean, it amazes me when you begin to think of what they went through. And Pastor Tyler this morning was either going to sing something about Isaac, laying down your Isaac, or God's been good. And either one of those would have fit the message this morning so well. And I began to think about it. It is a sacrifice that we can't even begin to imagine. A sacrifice of the most important thing that Abraham had at that point in time. Abraham was a wealthy man. There's no doubt of that. But I'm going to tell you, when it came to Isaac, nothing else mattered. How could he have done what he did? How could he have offered what he offered? The only way he could do it is because he knew it was God. And the Bible says that Abraham understood that even though he was as good as dead, that God had brought him to life. And if he could do that for Abraham, he could do it for Isaac. The Apostle Paul says, "For to me," Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "for to me to live is Christ." Basically, what he's saying there is, for me to live is for Christ to live. People are willing to give up all kinds of things. People are willing to do all kinds of things. It amazes me sometimes when I think of what some of our servicemen have given up in order that we might enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. It is not an easy thing to sacrifice. None of us like the idea of sacrifice. But if we are going to be what God wants us to be, then there is going to have to be the sacrifice of our person, the sacrifice of our bodies, even though it may be very difficult. The sacrifice of ourself, though, involves a daily commitment. Please understand something, folks. And if you've got this idea, I'm about to burst your bubble, okay? We do believe in two definite works of grace. We do not believe in two trips to the altar and you're done. It is a continual offering of ourselves. I've heard a verse taken out of context where Paul says, "I die daily." Please understand that Paul was literally talking about that he faced death on a daily basis. But the concept is right. The concept is there because we do make a choice to die out to self on a daily basis. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow after me." You and I make a choice every day as to who we are going to serve. You say, "William, we don't know that." Yes, you do. It may be at this point in time in your life that it is a decision that's been made and you don't think about it. But I'm telling you, for some people, it is a daily thing that they determine, "I am not going to do that. I will do this." I think it's good for us to think every day, "In this day, Lord, I will serve you. In this day, Lord, I offer myself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. This is my spiritual act of worship to you, Lord. I give you me one more time." It wouldn't hurt for you to do that every morning, because it would keep in mind what you're doing. It would help you keep in mind why you do what you're doing. It would help you keep in mind the sacrifice that was made so long ago so that you can do what you are doing. Amen, William. Good preaching. Not only does sacrifice involve the sacrifice of our person, but we're going to move on in a completely different direction on this one. It involves the sacrifice of our praise. Look at verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 15, Hebrews chapter 13. "Therefore, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name." This sacrifice that the Hebrew writer here is talking about, a verbal sacrifice. If the sacrifice of our bodies is a daily bringing about our fresh obedience to God, then what is the sacrifice of our praise? Well, the Hebrew writer tells us, he says it is the fruit of our lips. Israel had a first fruits offering. What did they do? They brought the first fruits that they took out of the field, that they pulled off the tree. They brought those things to God and they offered them to God. What are you and I supposed to do? We are supposed to bring the sacrifice of our praise, the fruit of our lips to God. When we come in here for worship, it is not a performance. At least it better not be. When we come to this place, we shouldn't be have our eyes focused on other people as to what they're doing. This is a time of corporate worship. But what makes up this corporate worship is individual worship. You've got all these bits and pieces of people who come in here. And we as one body sing and praise God. But this should also be a time when we individually lift our hearts and our hands and our voices to God in praise. We come here and offering our bodies, and we come here offering our praise. You say, but Pastor, you've not heard me sing. Well, that may be true. And it may be an awful thing. But the psalmist said, make a joyful noise. Y'all know I'm hard of hearing. The psalmist said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. There was a young man in one of our churches, not the one you're thinking of, that other one. Pastor Tyler used that last week. I'm going to use it this week. Bless his heart. And I know what it means when a southerner says that. Okay, I understand that. But bless his heart, that boy couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And do you know where he stood every Sunday morning? Right here. And everybody in the church knew he could not sing. But when I got there, he had only been saved about 2 years. He was saved out of drugs. He was saved out of a very rough life. And Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, he was there and he was praising and thanking God because what had happened in his life that had transformed him. He was offering God the best that he had. And he was doing it with gusto. You say, well, Pastor, I worship the Lord with my heart. Well, let your heart tell your mouth, okay? Let your heart tell your face, Susie's over here saying. I'm going to tell you, sometimes, folks, when I'm up here preaching, and I'm sure Pastor Tyler, he's kind, he wouldn't say this, and Pastor Jack probably wouldn't either, but I'm going to say it. Sometimes when we're up here, some of you look like you've been eating sour grapes. Smile! You know? Y'all aren't going to let me go back to Kentucky, are you? You know? Let God have the praise that comes from your lips. And if you don't feel like you can do that, let God have the praise that comes from hands that are lifted high. Now, I don't want just sheer emotion. I want it to come from a heart that means it. As Daddy used to say, I don't care how high you jump or how loud you shout when you hit the floor, I want you to walk straight. But folks, we have this to offer to God. Hosea 14:2 says, take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, forgive all of our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Jesus said that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that may be good or it may be bad. But whatever is in here is eventually going to come out here. And if that is in here is praise to God, it ought to come out here in one form or one fashion. And sacrifice of praise should be something that we do on a continual basis. We should continually be offering our praise to God. I used to hear people say after the end of every sentence, well, hallelujah or praise God. Please understand that can become so rote that it doesn't mean a thing. But when we say it from a heart that means it, oh God, it is offering Him the fruit of our lips. And here again, this is going to sound redundant, but the sacrifice of praise is a sacrifice. We have gotten to the point that we are afraid for somebody to see us praise God. I had a friend that attended the contemporary worship service at Bethany First Church of the Nazarene, and the contemporary worship service happened about 10 o'clock, and it was the week before district assembly. Anyway, he was attending the contemporary service that morning. And as he was doing the contemporary service, he said it was a sight to behold. He said there was the worship leader on stage as he was singing. He had his microphone, but one hand was up the whole time he was doing. He said over on the side was the pastor and the general superintendent. And he said that when it was interesting to watch, you had the worship leader up there like this, you had the pastor like this, and you had the general superintendent like this. I don't care how you raise your hand. I don't care what you do. But you need to be offering a sacrifice of praise to God. Not only do we believe in the sacrifice of our person and the sacrifice of our praise. Here's the kicker. We also believe in the sacrifice of our possessions. Verse 16, Hebrews chapter 13. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Now, I do understand that that's a touchy subject. And you do know that I have made a promise to you that I will preach one Sunday on giving. This Sunday is not it. But please understand, when you begin to look at the Bible, we get so caught up in this thing of giving and preachers preaching about giving. And right now, folks, I'm telling you, there are preachers in various parts of the country that one pastor, did you see that the other day? That somebody robbed him as he was going on stage and he had over $100,000 worth of jewelry on him. They're going to be sadly disappointed if they try for me. I think I got $26 in my wallet and a gold wedding band. And I understand that a lot of people get all caught up, but please understand something, folks. Everything that you have is God's anyway. You're not going to take any of it with you. I have preached a lot of funerals in my time, but I want you to understand, I never saw a hearse with a trailer hitch on it so that the U-Haul could be pulled. Just doesn't happen. I mean, we can laugh about some of this stuff, folks. But it always seems like there's somebody asking for something, especially in our day and age. I mean, I remember when we had a landline phone and we hardly could go through a dinner meal in the evenings. And that was something that we always did with our girls. Every evening at 5:30-ish, we sat down to eat together. That was something that we did all throughout their lives, and we could hardly go through a meal without somebody calling and asking for something. Or somebody calling me to tell me that my computer needed to be fixed. And you and I, we work hard, and we budget wisely, and we try to give our families the best that we can, but yet there's still somebody always wanting something. And we give them bits and pieces. God is not asking for bits and pieces. He is asking for it all. Because it's His already. He has given you the strength. He has given you the ability. Or, let me rephrase that, since we have a lot of retired folks, He gave you the strength and He gave you the ability to earn what you have. It's all His anyway. And verse 16 tells us here that we are to not only offer the sacrifice of praise, as we find there, but we're also reminded that we should not forget to do good and to share. This word do good is referring to sharing material things. Like in the Bible, it was called almsgiving. And the word share here is really the same word that we would use for fellowshipping. So when we give, when we share, we are fellowshipping with God. Paul speaks about an offering that was sent to him. It was sent to him by the Philippian church, and it came in the hands of Epaphroditus. And the Apostle Paul said here, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. Listen to how he describes what was sent to him. He doesn't talk about it being money just to him. He's talking here about it being a fragrant offering. But he doesn't stop there. He says it is a fragrant offering and an acceptable sacrifice, which pleases God. Philippians. It's absolutely astonishing how he says it. It is a fragrant offering. When you share with other people the blessings of God, it becomes a fragrant offering to Him. I went to a fellow in the church's dad's funeral. And this was in Muscle Shoals. And it was at the Catholic church there. And I had never been to a Catholic funeral before. And they came in with the incense. And they were doing this with it. And the whole place began to smell like that incense. It wasn't the best smell that I had ever smelled, but I was not used to it. But I thought of that when I was getting this together. How that when you and I share, when you and I give in ways that maybe this week we gave in Kentucky. I didn't know all this was going to happen and how I was going to preach this. But please understand, those kinds of things are a fragrant offering to God. It's pleasing to Him. I'm so thankful. She's here this morning, so I'm going to embarrass her real good. I'm so thankful for what I learned at home and saw in my parents, how that they gave not just of money. They taught us that we give to God. I mean, that was something that I saw happening at home. And there were times that I knew what Daddy made and I knew what Mom made. And I wondered, how in the world are they making it? I remember Daddy buying a 1969 Rambler. Some of you young folks have no clue. That Rambler was $2,000. Brand spanking new, bought it in Houston, Texas. Had three on the tree. If you don't know what that is, come ask me and I'll tell you. No air conditioning in South Texas. And I remember Daddy getting up to walk out several times because the salesman did not do what he wanted him to do. Now when I go to buy a car, Susie does not let me go alone. Because I won't walk out. She will. I remember thinking as he signed the note on that car, I don't even have any idea what the payments would have been. Do you remember? I remember thinking, he will never get this paid for. But I remembering him sign some notes at banks for people and then him having to pay it back. And I never once, she might have, but I never did. I never heard him once complain. And I never once saw us go hungry. And I never saw us once do without. What What does the psalmist say? I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed doing what? Begging bread. I realize that there are a lot of people who are out there that love the Lord and they're doing without. And I understand that. But I'm telling you, for those of us who have received, for those of us who have received, it is vital that we share in what we have. It is vital that we do what we can do in places where we can, so that other people's needs might be met. You see, God's going to supply our needs. I firmly and fully believe that. And it's trusting God and saying, God, what I have. And I'm here again. I'm not talking about a bank account, but if it's a bank account, it's in there too, okay? What I'm talking about here is being willing to share of our possessions so that other people will not have to do without. That's the interesting thing about the early church. I mean, you read it there. And they shared with anyone who had need. That was the example that was set in the early church. But there's also another part of that verse that is amazing to me. And the Lord added daily to their number those who were being saved. Could it be that one of the reasons that we don't see the blessing of God as they saw is because we have shut up? And I'm going to use an old biblical term here. We have shut up the bowels of compassion. I understand better than anybody in this room that there are people out there that play the system. Okay? I understand it because across the years I have seen it and I have dealt with it. And sometimes it's very easy for me to get very jaded and look at a person and question them and say, I don't believe you any further than I can throw you. God has not called me to be the judge. God has called me to be the supply. I looked at his eyes. I put in a little thing that I put on Facebook and I talked about the sadness. Pastor Tyler and I were talking on the way home that it really wasn't sadness, it was hopelessness. I saw it in Baton Rouge. But I also saw hope. Sunday morning after the flood, well, actually it was the next Sunday after the flood because the flood happened on a Sunday. I watched as Ed and Sue came in. Ed had on everything that he had in this world at that point in time because the rest of it was laying out on the street, ready to be picked up. He had on khaki pants and a Superman shirt, T-shirt. And he praised God. Folks, I'm going to tell you, if we're going to be the church, then we're going to have to be willing to sacrifice our person. We're going to have to be willing to sacrifice our praise. We're going to have to be willing to sacrifice our possessions because they are God's anyway. Someone said that lip service must be accompanied by life service. If you don't write down anything else this morning, you need to write that down. I don't know who said it, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. Lip service must be accompanied by life service. Conclusion. In his book, When God Interrupts, M. Craig Barnes said, do we really believe that all the blessings flow from God? As the ushers hold the offerings of the people before God, someone has to be thinking, praise God. I've worked myself to a frazzle to get that money. I'm giving to the church. But if we think that money we put in the plate was ours to give, we've missed the point of worship. And now read what's on the screen. What we are placing in the plate is only a symbol of the life that we would put in. That we would put in the plate if it would only fit. You see, folks, we believe in sacrifice. It is through the sacrifice of a lot of individuals that this church is here. It is through the sacrifice of a lot of individuals that a lot of things around the world have happened through our denomination and through other denominations. It has been through the sacrifice of people who understood that they were going to have to sacrifice their person, that they were going to have to sacrifice their praise, and they were going to have to sacrifice their possessions. You see, we as local believers, we as a body of believers, we as this church believe that you've got to serve and that you've got to sacrifice. And that may involve sacrificing your time to come and sit in a MOPS meeting and be a mentor mom. It may be that you have to sacrifice of your time to go and sit in a children's church while somebody else teaches the lesson, but you're there to keep the munchkins under control. It may mean that you need to go to Kentucky and sweep a floor. It may mean that you need to go to Florida and pick up debris. It may mean that you walk across the street to a neighbor that you've been trying to avoid, but you go over there and sacrifice what you have so that they can have something. Because one of the core values of our church is not only service, but it is also sacrifice. Lord Jesus, this morning, we thank you that you were willing to sacrifice yourself. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And then the Apostle Paul says to us, but God commends his love to us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, this morning, you are calling on us to sacrifice our person. It is not just two trips to the altar and we are done. It is a life of continually offering ourselves to you. A spiritual act of worship, offering ourselves to you. You're calling on us to sacrifice our praise. We need not worry what other people think or what other people might do, because they're responsible for what they do and what they say, but we are responsible to offer you our praise. And so, Lord, this morning, we offer you the fruit of our lips. We offer you our praise. For you alone are worthy to be praised. But Lord, you have blessed us in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. Realized even more just this week, Lord, that in one instant, everything that we have can be gone. But you are still there. And you are still faithful. And you will still supply. So Lord, help us to be willing to share with open hands, because you were willing to share with open hands. I wonder, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, we're not going to have any singing, we're not going to have any playing, it's just us this morning. I really don't want anyone looking. I'm not even looking, okay? But I wonder if there might be someone in this service this morning that you just need to raise a hand to God and say, God, I praise you for your love and your grace and your mercy. And God, I offer you my praise this morning. Help me, Lord, to live a life of praise and thanksgiving and give you the fruit of my lips as an offering to you. Maybe God has spoke to you this morning about somebody that you need to be willing to share with. I don't know who, I don't know what. But maybe you need to share in ways that you've never thought of before. Maybe this morning, as you are sitting there, right where you are, you can say to him, God, I will do what you've been calling me to do. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together. May you go with us, bless us, and help us. And for the good things that you're going to accomplish in our hearts, our lives, our church, as we offer you ourselves, as we offer you our praise, as we offer you our possessions as a sacrifice today, we believe, God, you're going to do great and mighty things. And all God's people said, amen. I'm glad you are here this morning. For those of you who the Zoom link is new, and so if you've been getting in on Zoom for the small group over here, you'll need to use the new Zoom link. Remember other small groups that will be going on tonight? God bless you. I'm glad you are here this morning. I hope you have a great rest of the week.